Did I get there? Okay. Okay, well, Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom. Let's see. Normally, we do kind of a study on when we're in the circle method here, but I wanted to share about Pesach today as we prepare and whatnot. So hopefully, you guys can all kind of tilt a little bit, and we've got Passover coming in just a few weeks, coming up soon, right after Purim, and so we have two nights of Seders. In Israel, they just have one, and then in the diaspora, there's two, which has to do with the calculations of the new moon and all kinds of different things like that. But we have two Seders, the first night and the second Seder. So the first night Seder is on the evening of April 12th, which is Motzi Shabbat. Motzi is Shabbat is after Shabbat on Saturday night. And so this is the time for getting together with your families, with our Ruach Israel family here, and do home Seders, because that's important to us. So if you're hosting a Seder, invite people here. And if you'd like to go to a Seder, check in with me. I might be able to find a place. Maybe check in with Cheryl. Is that okay? And we'll see if we can do that. Or if you'd like to host and have some questions, come talk to me, and we can put that together. And there are some specifics about this Seder on Shabbat. So because the Seder starts right after Shabbat, things change a bit. And I'm going to get into that a bit more. There's an email that I'm planning to send out on Monday that'll kind of specify what to do differently. So when I talk about that, you don't have to take notes. It'll come out in an email. But one thing is that the first cup of the Seder is when we do Havdalah. So the Seder has to begin later, at sundown on Saturday night, which means there are some creative ways of doing that so that it isn't quite so late. Talk to me, and I can share some ideas about how to start with some discussion and things like that a bit earlier. Okay, second night Seder is on Sunday night, and a little more flexible about the time. We're going to be beginning at 5:30, and so come. It'll be our Ruach Israel full community Seder. We'll all be here together. The decorations, everything. It's a catered meal. I think catered from the butchery. Is that right? In Brookline? It's going to be terrific. Brisket, something like that. And there's vegan options. So anyway, really, really great. If you're interested in setup, I know I'm doing announcements, but if you're interested in setup, I'm putting together sort of an impromptu setup team. So come see me if that's something you'd like to be a part of. That would be wonderful. Okay, so that's Sunday the 13th, and there's registration for that, so check the email. Now, Raina's going to run a children's Seder during that time. So downstairs, there'll be a space for the Shabbat school kids to be able to kind of enter in at their level and engage and then come up for the meal and go back and forth. Okay, so the Jewish reading cycle that we have that we read today is designed to help us prepare for Passover. Last week, I shared a message about the reading of the ashes of the red heifer and how that prepares us for Passover. That's up on the website, thanks to Ralph already. And every year on Shabbat, a couple weeks right before Passover, I like to talk about the whys and how-tos of Passover, just to get it in our minds, to get it in our thinkings, to help us to become passionate about these sorts of things. So the Passover, the Seder, begins with the why. So the children ask the question of the why. We can sing it together. Ma nishtana ha'laila hazeh, mikol ha'lelot, mikol ha'lelot, ha'laila hazeh, ha'laila hazeh, mikol ha'lelot, ha'laila hazeh, ha'laila hazeh, mikol Hallelujah. Now you're getting ready for Passover. So why? The question is, why is this night different from all other nights? So our readings today answer the question. This is the night when the Lord brought us out from Egypt. So we Jews, we gather all over the world to celebrate Pesach. We remember the Exodus from Egypt, the spiritual birth of the Jewish people that happened over 3,000 years ago. Now, instructions for Passover span across the book of Exodus, the book of Leviticus, Deuteronomy. It's big in the Torah. Pesach is big in the Torah. Keep it as a feast to the Lord. Observe the feast of Matzot, for on this day I have brought your ranks out of the land of Egypt. Remember this day on which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. So we're to keep, we're to observe, we're to remember. These are the instructions. The Passover is central to our Jewish experience and covenantal relationship with God across the entire Bible. And even many, as you know, non-religious Jews, secular Jews, will gather for a Seder on Passover, and it has kept the Jewish people a people. Keeps us going. So let's unpack why Passover is so important, beginning with the Torah, and then we'll get into some of the what to do's. So, okay, first, Passover is to be a sign. It's a sign. So I really love this verse. Passover will be a sign on your hand. Imagine tefillin, we bind a sign on our hand, a sign on our hand, and it will be a reminder between your eyes so that the Torah of the Lord may be in your mouth. We eat the Seder, we eat the story. It's beautiful. We tell the story. Perhaps this is why we remember Passover by a meal, you know, and talking and sharing. We eat the elements of the Seder plate. We're fulfilling this commandment. We're literally eating the Passover story. See? Passover is a powerful sign that reminds us of who we are and it reminds us of whose we are. It's a sign to remember the power of the Lord as he's delivered us with his strong hand. It's a sign that points us back to the Torah given at Mount Sinai. It's a sign of God's love for Israel. It's a sign of God's covenant with Israel. And more, it's a sign that we, that all of you, that you were members of that covenant with Israel today. In the Haggadah, we don't just tell the story of ancient Jews of the past. Remember, it's as if we are there with them. We went through the split sea. We stood at the foot of Mount Sinai and we tell our kids about it. Now, Passover is intended to link us together as part of God's larger work in the world. So, individual Jews, we come together with families around a shared table. And then our shared tables come together as Jewish communities, as a Ruach Israel Jewish community. And then our Jewish communities come together as all of Israel, making Passover a sign of God's relationship with his people to the entire world. If Jewish communities are assigned to Israel and Israel is assigned to the world, then consider how much more we as Messianic Jews must fully immerse ourselves into the Passover experience. You know, it's not like less for us. It should be more for us. Passover for us bears the sign of Yeshua, the resurrected Messiah. He relives the Passover story, revealing himself as the heart of God's covenant with Israel and the mediator of a deeper hope. If Yeshua is the ultimate sign of Passover, then kol vachomer, how much more so is it essential for us to enter into this life as Messianic Jews? So Passover may be even more central to us than any other group of Jews. And not that it isn't for others as well, but you know, this is how we should see this. And this brings us to a second reason we observe Passover. Passover is a shared community life in covenant with God in Israel. So these instructions are to remember, to observe, to keep the Passover. They're given to the community as a whole. So Passover isn't just something we really observe. You can't observe it alone. And most of the commandments that God gives Israel in the Torah are designed to bring us together through shared instructions and shared tasks. God wants us to gather together around his tasks, his mitzvot, so that our community is built around him. And it's like the best way to build community is to come together around a shared project, you know, to do something together, to work together towards something. You guys know my example of this is the COVID lockdowns when our family needed to come together to unite us, so we built a chicken coop, thanks to the Davids. Best thing we ever did in this time of instability, strengthening relationships, reinforcing values, and bringing joy. Chickens didn't bring joy. Working together brings joy. Many of the Jewish commandments that God gives us in the Bible are like this. They building a sukkah, gathering for Shabbat, preparing for Passover, cleaning, preparing for the Seder, eating the matzah. They're all shared tasks that strengthen our relationship through joy and faithfulness to God together. Now, the tasks themselves matter. I think they have value. But the relationships we build around them matter even more. And Passover helps sustain communities by bringing us together in covenant with God around his tasks, around his table, around each other. And we live out our shared covenant with God together. Someone might say, you know, I can go on a nice vacation and I can make lots of memories with my family, or I could do Passover. And I love vacations. Vacations are wonderful. You make a lot of memories. They're great. But Passover isn't just about making memories. It's about making memories in family, in community, in a people, in covenant with God. You see the difference? It's about linking these memories to faith, linking our memories to God's story and to our identity as a people. So we're part of that story. And that's critical as we pass this on to the next generation in an intergenerational faith. Now, remember this. We don't observe Passover in order to earn God's love. We don't observe Passover to gain points or to become better saved, as some might say. Instead, we observe because we're already loved. We're embraced by his mercy and his grace. Because we're in a relationship with God as a community, God gives us a communal way of life. God redeemed us from Egypt before giving us the Torah from Mount Sinai because of his love. Then at Sinai, he gives us a way of life, not as a requirement to enter his covenant, but because we're already in his covenant. It's how we live it out. I've rescued you. Now, this is how you shall live together. Again, he's not saying, do this life to enter my covenant. He's saying, you are in my covenant, so you can live this way now. And we need to internalize that, I think. Passover is part of that life. It's a way for us, as his treasured people, to live out our faith together. It sets us apart, brings us his joy, and serves as a sign of God's covenant to the world. Let's go on to the next one. Passover is a torch to the next generation. So in Exodus 3:8, you are to tell your son on that day, saying, it is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. So it's remarkable that we Jews have been remembering this Passover for over 3,000 years. I mean, really, we've been commissioned to be part of this ongoing covenant that we must continue, Lador Vador, from generation to generation to generation. And you know, listen, if a Jewish family or a Messianic Jewish family just decides, I'm not going to do Passover the year. It's too much work. I'm too busy. I've got this. I scheduled all these things already and I can't get out of them or whatever, all these important things. Yeah, they're important things. But now there's a gap. There's a gap. And consider the gap with a Jewish follower of Yeshua who's called to be salt within our Jewish people. It's an even bigger gap. You know, sometimes we say, oh, like in Yeshua, like it's fine. God understands. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. The Torah doesn't say that. You know, he doesn't say that. There's a gap. You know, there's a gap. We're called to be salt within the people. It's our way of life together. That goes above everything else in the world. It's fascinating. God didn't just deliver us from Egypt and then tell us to remember the Exodus. He tells us that we need to tell this story to our children and their children and their children even before it happens. I mean, this is important. It's fascinating. I'm going to do this, and then you're going to tell the story to your kids, to their kids, and so on and so on. You're going to eat the Passover lamb before we even did the Passover lamb. You know, we're going to continue. We're going to clean out your chametz. You're going to eat matzah for every single generation for eternity. I mean, as far as we know, maybe even in the kingdom of heaven. God has us here in mind. Here at Rook Israel, I think, in mind, before he delivered ancient Israel from Egypt, he's thinking about their great, 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 great grandchildren, us here today. The Lord gave us an intergenerational task. As members of this covenant, we must pass the Passover onto our children. And it's part of our mission for the Lord. And we don't communicate these truths through a one-time conversation. These truths are intended to be communicated through regular life, when your family comes together with your community and relives the Exodus every year as if we were there. So it's communicated through the Seder. It's communicated when the kids say, I'm hungry, when are we going to eat? You know, we say, keep the Seder short because of the kids. No, the kids need to be hungry. They need to be bored. They need to struggle. They need to wrestle just like we struggled in Egypt. I mean, How many of you grew up doing seders and like that's a part of your experience, you know? And you might say, oy, 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 another seder, but that's part of being Jewish. Struggling and waiting and being hungry and then eating a lot. I mean, it's true. You know, we communicate important messages to our kids when we don't water everything down for them. That's a little soapbox, forgive me. Yeah. And along those lines, like, if you just make the Jewish holidays about kids only, you know, then what happens when they grow up, they think they don't matter. This is just a kid's holiday. You know, it's not about that. It's about all of us together. Okay. We communicate these things when we clean our houses together. I mean, think of like this. Like, okay, we're going to do a massive house clean, and you're doing this, and you're stopping everything else in order to do this. Why? Why would I do that? What about when you eat matzah sandwiches, and you have to stand out from the crowd and look different? You know, that's being Jewish. What about when someone invites you to lunch, a business meeting, a friend, or whatever, but you say, I can't eat at a restaurant this week because it's Passover? You know, these small tasks seem trivial. They become the framing for the greater story of our lives. It starts a great conversation as well. They're the framework, the plans, if you will, for building God's intergenerational community. And our last why, Passover, it's an eternal ordinance. In Exodus 12, 17b, we read, therefore, you are to observe this day throughout your generations as an eternal ordinance. Now, this is helpful to me. I don't know about you. I feel overwhelmed at times cleaning out the kitchen cabinets before Passover. We have a lot of kids, as you know. We have a lot of more crumbs than we do kids. And those crumbs are everywhere. HVAC ducts, under the couch cushions. I mean, it's crazy. And we clean the house like every day, but you know, it's insane. So we get overwhelmed. We have a whole, Raina just created a whole Passover cleaning, you know, schedule for the next week. We're starting, I think we're starting Sunday or Monday. We start at the attic and work our way down with no chametz at the top, you know, and then the last thing is the kitchen. And all the chametz gets brought into the kitchen and we have a whole plan and it's all mapped out. Okay. We feel overwhelmed. And then you wonder, does it really matter if I left that covered over there and I just forgot about it? Does it really matter if I left the goldfish underneath the car seats? Does it really matter? But our tradition gets this. So before Passover, we've cleaned out our homes, we hide 10 pieces of chametz, and we search for them by candlelight. And then the following morning, we burn these pieces, and then there's a prayer that we say, I'll send it out via email to you, to nullify any leftover chametz. It's basically like this. If there's any chametz that I missed, I nullify it and it's not mine. I love this because we give it our best shot and then we let God make up the difference. You know, that's the idea. This prayer reminds us that we're never going to observe Passover fully. No one observes Passover fully. No matter what they say, no one does it fully. And that's not the point. I think this is what, it's important. We do God's tasks, like Passover, out of a full love tank as a response to his love and not out of a need to win his favor. Not out of perfectionism, it's out of love. It's out of devotion. He already loves you, he's working in your life. And that's where this commandment to make this an eternal ordinance helps me, because it's not just an individual commandment. I've got to do this for my own sake right now, for me, it's just about me. Instead, it's a communal commandment. The idea is that the Jewish people need to keep Passover forever, and I'm a part of that forever. I can't opt out of it, but I'm not the only part. You see? It's a communal commandment. The idea is that it's like you're doing Passover, you know, Harry's doing Passover for Connie, and Cheryl's doing Passover for Margaret, and we all come together, and if we make mistakes, we do it together. Does that make sense? What matters is that we're in the game, and that my desire is to pass the story of God's redemption on and participate, not that we get every detail correct, but not that we forsake it and say it doesn't matter. Okay, so these are some reasons why we do Passover. Now, let's get into the how. A little more boring, but let's get into the how. So first, we have chametz. Clean out your chametz. Exodus 12:15, for 7 days you were to eat matzah, but on the first day, you must remove chametz from your houses, for whoever eats chametz from the first day until the seventh day, that soul will be cut off from Israel. That's a tough phrase. What do you think about that? Cut off from Israel. Difficult word. Two basic instructions here. One, remove your chametz, and the second, eat matzah. So our tradition broke into two commandments: remove chametz, eat matzah. The first question we Jews needed to ask was exactly, what is chametz? The Bible doesn't say; it's just chametz. Like, what is it? What is chametz? It's flat. It's what makes bread rise, maybe. And what is matzah? So the way it developed in very, very early rabbinic Judaism is that chametz, and this was drawn from the first century, so Yeshua experienced chametz just like this as well. Chametz means puffed up. Now, chametz is not leavening, so it's not yeast. You can actually have yeast in your cupboards over Passover. Chametz is grains that could rise with some other leavening agent, like water. Water can puff it up, and therefore it puffs. So our tradition identified wheat, barley, spelt, rye, and oats. So chametz is anything that contains wheat, barley, spelt, rye, and oats. So oats are chametz. Now, you might wonder, what about matzah? Isn't matzah wheat? Matzah is wheat, so what's the problem? What we do is we have to eat matzah, which is wheat. So the idea is, how do we make wheat that's not leavened at all? And what we do is we have to grind the flour, and then within a very short time, it's developed, the 18 minutes is the rabbinic time, that flour has to be baked in a 1,000-degree oven. So matzah, what makes matzah kosher for Passover versus unkosher for Passover matzah is that the flour was ground within this window and baked within a certain temperature so that it couldn't have come into contact with water. So if you buy matzah flour, it's baked. It's basically like matzah that was ground up into flour again after it was already baked, so it's not going to leaven. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, there's a long-standing Jewish tradition that developed in the diaspora that kitniyot, corn, beans, rice, these things, were also removed because in those days we might mistake them for the other grains because we didn't deal with packaged foods and all of those things and whatnot. And they said, hey, we might mistake it. So in the Ashkenazic Jewish communities, they said, just forget about that too. Remove that too. The Sephardic Jewish community never did that. So they can eat those. And the Ashkenazic community, was not permitted to eat those. And that's why, you know, things that have like corn syrup in them would not be kosher for Passover is because of the corn within the corn syrup. Now, the conservative Jewish movement and the Messianic Jewish Rabbinical Council followed, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, that we are permitting kitniyot now. It has to do with the approach to halakha and the reality that we're not making those mistakes anymore, and therefore that isn't necessary. So you can eat kitniyot. However, if you're Our standards say that if your tradition has been like, we don't eat kitniyot, and that's what I grew up with, then don't eat kitniyot. It's fine. Okay? All right. So we don't eat anything containing these grains, but we also remove them from our homes because the Torah tells us not to own any chametz. So to avoid throwing out good food, which would be wasteful, Ashkenazic tradition developed to sell them to our non-Jewish neighbor for a dollar or whatever, and buy them back without making a profit. Sorry, Harry. No, you can't charge interest on your chametz. So the idea is we sell them. Now, I think this is cool. I mean, it's embarrassing. Have any of you guys done this? Sold it to your neighbors? Yeah? It's great. It creates an awesome conversation. I mean, it's like all about Passover. What is this? Why are you doing it? Now, if you can't sell it to your neighbors, the MGRC has decided that you could kind of set a storage area apart that is not your own, and you kind of nullify it as like, this is not my own, and it's set aside, a place where you don't go during Passover. It's a lenience just to make it more doable for folks. So then what we do is we have to clean our homes to remove the chametz crumbs throughout the house. So we have a lot of fun vacuuming, and again, under the beds, the couch, under the fridge, everything, tons of chametz. Now, normally, we remove our chametz the day before Passover. They have to be all gone so that we can do the search for chametz in the evening before the day of Passover. And then in the morning, we burn, and then we have the nullification blessings. But we can't do that because we can't burn things on Shabbat. The Torah says don't light a flame on Shabbat. We can't do cleaning. And we also need to cook for the Passover Seder Saturday night, which we can't cook on Shabbat. So you have to do all your cooking on Friday, which means that Thursday is when all the chametz need to be brought out. Does that make sense? And I'll send the email out with the date. So Thursday, you do your search for chametz Thursday night, And you do say the nullification blessing first, because there's actually two times you say it. I'll explain it in the email. But what about challah on Shabbat? We need challah on Shabbat, especially the day before Passover. Otherwise, it undermines the matzah, and you're not supposed to eat matzah the day before Passover, so that it elevates the matzah in Passover. So what do? We save our challot. We set it aside. And even though all the chametz is gone, we have our challah, our two challot for our Shabbat dinner on Friday, and we eat them on a napkin or on a tray or something separate from everything else so we don't get crumbs, and that way we honor Shabbat as well. And then what happens is on Shabbat morning, we say the second nullification blessing, it's all gone after you throw out your crumbs. Does that make sense? Okay, so this is just how you do Shabbat. All right, now let's go to matzah. Matzah means to drain out. In Exodus story, we're told to make bread in haste. Make bread in haste. Grind the flour, bake it right away, and then let it rise. That's part of the reasons for the timetable. Matzah is wheat. The reason for the timetable is because it has to be bread in haste, or else it's not matzah. You see, it's not just flat bread. It's bread baked in haste. Okay, so I fondly remember Cheryl's matzah baking times. We can make kosher matzah at her oven because it gets that hot. And I remember when the kids were little, remember that, and we had the timer going and everything. We should do that again one day. It was wonderful. So not only do we clean it, but we have to eat matzah. It's a positive commandment to remember the Lord's deliverance. And there are two sides to this. So the Torah's consequence for not eating or not removing your chametz, I said, is to be cut off from your people, which is difficult. But rather than see this as a punishment, perhaps we can see it more as a natural consequence. When a person does not participate, it's as if he or she is removing his family from the community's covenantal life with God, cut off from the people. In generations, if you don't participate, your generation will be cut off from the people. So if you just say, I'm not going to do it, I'm too busy, I've scheduled other things, you're removing your families from God's covenantal life with Israel, and the entire community suffers, because the community then isn't whole, because someone's cut off, cut themselves off, really. So your place at the Seder table is empty. See? And I want to say it's the same thing with Shabbat services here, in community life. And, you know, when you're not here, we're not as strong. You know, that's the reality. When you're not here, it's not as strong. So it isn't just about, these things aren't just about, like, what do I receive? In our day, we have a consumerist society. We like to consume things. And you go to a service, you'll see this in different denominations or whatever, and it's like, oh, you know, I'm coming because I like the sermons and I get something from it. Or I'm coming because I like the people. Or I'm coming because I like the music. And it's about me, but I don't like the music anymore. Or the sermons aren't as good. I'm going to go somewhere else. It's all about me and what I consume and what I receive and how I'm receiving and how I'm growing spiritually. That's not Judaism. Judaism is about what we bring and what we build and what you're contributing to others. Because even though receiving things is nice and growing is important and that's good, but your job is to grow someone else. And when you're not here, you're not growing that other person, and then they're missing out because of what you're not bringing to the community experience. And that's how real community is built. And you guys all get this here. That's how community is built. Otherwise, it's just a show. It's just like leaders putting on something for people to receive something. But that's not the Torah. So, you know, of course, we all miss things. We all get sick. We have lives. We have to, you know, things happen. And I get that. But I would ask us all, myself included, think carefully when we miss a service or a Seder or a Shabbat. Think very carefully, because it really impacts your community when you aren't here. And our entire community suffers because we aren't as strong. So this is an invitation. Consider it an invitation. I wonder if the commandment about matzah is so important to the Lord, because our food storages in our homes are like the heart of our homes, aren't they? Cheryl, you know this, right? Bread bake, like our bread is like the heart. It's the heart of our home. Bread is life of our home. Bread is the heart of our meals. So when we remove the bread, the leavening from our houses and altering our diet, it's something that everyone in our home is affected by. It's something that our families and communities need to come around together and observe. It's something that requires an explanation. Mommy, why are we emptying the cabinets? Oh, I get to tell you all about this right now. So this is important, and there are natural consequences for not living out Jewish life together. Not condemnation, not shame. We have enough of that in the world, don't we? But it's an invitation to live together, to come together around these treasures that the Lord has given us. These are treasures. On the other hand, Jewish life is not all or nothing. It's intended to be something we participate in and to do what we can. So we get that life is difficult. We get, like I said, we can't do everything, and it's okay. So if this year, you know, you aren't able to do a big clean this year, well, let it go this year and try next year, and we'll clean our home for you, you know, like others. We do it as a community together. Maybe just spend a few minutes to go through your cabinets and remove your chametz or block off a corner of your basement. Just do some. Do what you can. Remember, what's more important for us is the heart. It's to come together in community through the shared experience to remember the Lord's great work, to be a sign, to pass His covenant down to our children. And then very quickly, Jewish tradition spiritualized matzah. Spiritual virtues is matzah, and the negative things, spiritual vices, is chametz. So I love this. Even in the first century, the Apostle Paul, who celebrated Passover, wrote this: "Don't you know that a little chametz leavens the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old chametz so you may be a new batch, just as you are matzah. For Messiah, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the Passover, not with the old chametz, the chametz of malice and wickedness, but with matzah of sincerity and truth." So let us celebrate the true bread of life at our table, the life in Yeshua, the heart of our Passover Seder, and we'll see why at our Ruach Israel Seder in a couple weeks. Okay, lastly, I want to talk about the next way to observe Passover is to take off from work. This isn't mentioned as much, but it's just as strong in the Torah. In Exodus 12, 16, the first day is to be a holy assembly for you, as well as the seventh day. No manner of work is to be done on those days except what is to be eaten by every person. That alone may be prepared for you. Now, isn't it fascinating that here we can eat, we can prepare food for the holy day, but on Shabbat we can't cook at all. We can't light a fire, but we can on the Moedim, on the holy days. It's fascinating. So consider that. We don't cook for Shabbat itself. You have to prepare for Shabbat. You have to collect manna before Shabbat, not on Shabbat. But the holy days, you're allowed to cook your meal for the holy day, but not anything beyond that. You don't cook for the next week. Does that make sense? So biblically, the first day and the seventh day are Shabbats. The first day and the seventh day are Shabbats. So we're asked to take off from work, from business, from spending money. This year it's easy because Sunday, April 13th is the official first day. Begins Saturday night to Sunday. And also, you know, we're going to be davening Shacharit at our house on that Sunday morning before the Ruach Seder. So anyone would like to come, we'll send it out, you know, casual, informal, but, you know, come over and daven. We'd love that, to pray Shacharit together. Now, the seventh day, again, is Shabbat, the following Shabbat, April 19th. So you're already not working on that day, so it makes it easy. It's like a double Shabbat. Okay, so I do recommend this. It may not be necessary this year, but I recommend that you, for next year, you talk to your boss or employer or schedule, if you're self-employed, you work this all out in the beginning of the year. So it's not like, oh, I forgot, I can't take off work because I was just scheduled. No, no, no. You go to your employer and you say, I'm Jewish. I need to celebrate Passover. These are the days that I have to celebrate. Legally, they have to let you off. It's the law. And, you know, so the whole thing, I have to work or this or that. It's really not true. It's a choice that we're making. And these are choices that we can plan ahead for. So look up the days for next year and we plan ahead. Again, what's at the heart? Not about shame, not about shoulds. We don't police this. We understand there's nuances. I get it. It's about creating a space and time for our families and our communities to come together around these shared tasks, to do life with God together. And if you miss it, if you miss regular life and just keep going, and you don't stop, then we'll miss it, and you'll pass over the Passover, you know? Okay, attend a Seder. The Torah tells us, and we'll close in a minute, the Torah tells us to attend a Seder. Our readings actually tell us to have a feast and to tell the story to our children. Not just any feast, though. It's a feast that we're supposed to eat the Passover lamb, and the Torah specifically says the lamb with matzah and with bitter herbs. So those are the three commandments that have to do with the Seder. The Seder means order. It's the structure that we tell the story. Now, we can't eat lamb because we don't have a temple, and we can't sacrifice the lamb. So we replace the lamb with an extra piece of matzah. and then the matzah, we can at least eat the matzah with the bitter herb and then have a ceremonial eating of the matzah for the lamb and the bone, and you can see all kinds of connections there when Yeshua took the matzah and said, I am the lamb, you see? So the heart behind this is God's asking us to eat the story so that his deliverance would never be forgotten. Our Besorah passages that we see, Yeshua's Last Supper with his disciples was, of course, a Passover Seder, and he applies these elements of the Seder to himself. The blood of the slain lamb, he will become our redemption, marred by the bitterness of betrayal. Like the matzah, he will become our deliverance. And at the heart of Israel himself, he lives Israel's story. So we add another layer to our Passover. Participating in the Seder is sharing in the life of Messiah and his great redeeming work. So come to the second night Seder to journey through the Exodus together. I've covered a lot of ground, some of the whys, some of the how-tos. Just remember that, again, doing everything isn't as important as entering in as a community and community life and doing some. So jump in where you can. Maybe just attend the Seder. That's all you can do. Or take one of the days off work. Or enter more fully into Yeshua's life this Passover. Whatever you do, stay focused on the heart. Passover is supposed to be fueled by the joy of redemption and what God has already done in our lives. Coming together as a Jewish community of Messiah to bring these important Passover instructions and mitzvot to life in our hearts and our homes, our families, and our Ruach Israel family, and then within our people. So a Chag Sameach to you all in advance, and Shabbat Shalom.